Good morning, everyone. I'm sorry if you're wondering why I'm not singing the hymns, but I'm trying to conserve my voice, which might go. Oh, I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. As Jan said, this Sunday sees the beginning of a short series on remembering. Now, this first talk, Remembering and the Bible, is designed to be a bridge between last Sunday, which was Bible Sunday, and next Sunday, which is Remembrance Sunday. So we're sort of drawing the two together, and this is a sort of bridge, hence the title, Remembering and the Bible. However, when I saw it in the rota, and I saw my name against it, I thought, oh dear, why do I start? I mean, Jonathan might as well have said, just preach on the Old Testament, or preach on the New Testament. What I don't want us to do is to be drowned in loads and loads of verses of scripture, because we could easily be, because there are so many scriptures on remembering. I mean, quite why I've been chosen to start the series is a mystery, because I seem to spend most of my time forgetting. However, true to good form, I have got three headings, and those three headings have three subheadings. Now, don't turn off. Keep with me. It's not all bad. In fact, it's good. It's good news. The first heading is divine remembering. The second one is human remembering. And the third one is importance of remembering. And under each of those titles, there is three subheadings, and we'll link them together. What I say is, I don't want us to drown in scripture. So you might be thinking, why didn't she say about that one, and what about this one? And, you know, there are so many there to choose from. But so we'll go from the top. Divine remembering. God always remembers his covenant. And here in Psalm 105, verses 8 to 11, it says this: He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. God always remembers his covenant. It shot through the Old Testament. Secondly, God always remembers his people. Many of the verses at the beginning of the Old Testament remind us that God remembered his people. Then God remembered Noah. God remembered Abraham. Then God remembered Sarah. The Lord remembered Rachel. The Lord remembered Hannah. God always remembers his people. God always remembers his promises. And in the Bible, these precious words about God remembering these folk precede God's promised action on their behalf, working salvation, producing an offspring, and so on. And it's the very opposite of God forgetting his promise. So divine remembering. God always remembers his covenant, he always remembers his people, he always remembers his promises. Human remembering. Have you ever forgotten anything? This year, for the first time ever, I very nearly forgot our son's birthday, and I felt terrible. I just looked at the date and saw it was the 20th of October and realised that his birthday was the 22nd, but that's the first recollection I'd had that his birthday was almost upon us. And I felt really, really bad that for the first time in 34 years I actually forgot my son's birthday. I heard of a man who once forgot his wife's birthday, and she was so upset, and she went to bed that night. She said, "When I wake up in the morning, I want something in the driveway that will go from 0 to 200 in 6 seconds flat." The next morning she woke up and went outside, and in the driveway she found a small box with a bow on it. And trembling fingers, she pulled open the bow and she opened up the box to find the bathroom scales. (Laughter) I'm sure we can all remember times when we've forgotten something important, when we've forgotten somebody's name. This has happened more than once. David and I go to Tesco, we go around Tesco, we meet up with people, and they say, "Oh, hello, Kate, how are you?" "All right, yes, yes, how's the family?" "Yes, they're fine, thank you." And they go on and on and on, and we have a long conversation, then we say goodbye, and we walk around. David says to me, "Who is that?" I say, "I don't know." Because truly, I don't know. I'm standing there thinking, "Do I know you from Chilton Church? Or do I know you from Harwell Church? Do I know, maybe I know you from the village?" I have no idea. And so, and it's happened more than once, I have to say. But David feels encouraged because he thinks it's not only him that forgets things or forgets people. But I'm sure there have been times when we've forgotten something, when it's somebody's name. And the vicar who married us, he had a sort of plan that he used, because when he met people like that, they say, "Oh, hello, Harry, how are you? How is Olive and the children?" He would say to them, "Oh, yes, we're fine. How are the family?" So if it was David, we'd say, "Well, you know, David's just coming up retirement, and Naomi started her own business, and Aaron is working for Williams Formula One." And then, of course, he could picture us, and he, "Oh, yeah, Kate and David are Evans. Yes, I know them." He should, though, because he'd married us. But he had that plan that he put into practice. But I'm afraid that doesn't even work in Tesco's. I've tried it. When it comes to remembering God's faithfulness, we can be especially forgetful. One striking example of this is found in the book of Exodus, chapters 14 and 16, in the span of just a couple of chapters. We see the Israelites delivered from slavery and brought through the Red Sea, but now they're grumbling at not having anything to eat. We want to say to them, "But don't you remember what God just did for you? The water stood up like two walls and you walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. Don't you think that a God that can do that is also capable of giving you food to eat? Trust him." And then, of course, we remember that we do the same sort of thing. God brings us through trial, answers prayer, and within a few days it's almost forgotten, and we're already looking to the next struggle on the horizon and finding reasons to gripe and complain. We have to find ways of remembering God's faithfulness. So here we are. This is what believers should remember. Believers are to remember God's commands. And Anita read the Ten Commandments to us this morning. And right in the middle there it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Remember. And of course these are a set of laws by which we strive to live our Christian lives. And here we are, remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. Believers are to remember their responsibilities to one another. Now, in order that you don't drown in verses of scripture about remembering, I've asked Vicky to print a list of our responsibilities to one another. We are called upon to love one another, to serve one another, to be kind to one another, to have fellowship with one another, offer hospitality to one another, confess your sins to one another. That might not spring up as being something that you necessarily feel comfortable in doing, but if you know somebody who you love and you feel confident with and you trust, there's no reason why you can't confess something that's on your heart, and I'm sure that that person would pray with you and help you and love you through it. At least I hope they would. We're called to carry one another's burdens and encourage one another. Depending on how God has gifted you, you may find some of these things more easy and be drawn towards certain actions as part of how you are made. But these things are things that each of us has been called to do. So it's no good me saying to Jan, "Well, you have to love one another, but I don't." You have to serve somebody, you have to serve one another, but it's not for me. That's not the case. It's what we are called to do. Believers are asked to remember their responsibilities towards one another. Believers are to remember the death of Jesus Christ, and this is part of the series that Jean will be looking at in a couple of weeks' time. The importance of remembering. When our children were growing up, like many other families, they covered any magnetic surface in fridge magnets. We can't do that so much now because fridges tend to get incorporated behind wooden matching doors of the kitchen. I know ours do. We can't see our fridge and we can't see our freezer. So there's nowhere to stick it. However, storage heaters come in very handy for our grandchildren who still like to play with the magnets. We collected them from our tours abroad. When I showed this in Chiltern, Lynn and Dave grinned because this is their homeland. This is South Africa, where my brother lived for 21 years, and we had some lovely holidays there. And this is a trip to Barbados to show the orchestra, because otherwise they might drop off. This one here is the Sydney Opera House, when we went to see David's uncle. Had the most wonderful time in Australia, going round Australia. There's one here that says, and it's quite true, I can vouch for it, I can handle any crisis, I have children. Cheer up, Vickies, it's true. Believe me, it's true. And this one we bought in Singapore on our way to South Africa, on our way to Australia rather, and I was thinking of my six-year-old son, Aaron, same one as I nearly missed the birthday for. What part of no don't you understand? And that stayed on the fridge for an awful long time. But I have another one here, and it's somebody who's sticking their finger in the air with a bow tied round the finger to remind them. And it says this: God keeps his promises, and that's a promise. God keeps his promises, and that's a promise. And that's what we're called upon to remember. Suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, to be crucified and on the third day to raise again." Then they remembered his words. Remembering should lead to understanding. When I grew up in God's Life Brigade, as it was then, we had a set of laws which First Chiltern Company would also have had, because they were national laws. It began something like this: be loyal to your Sunday school and church. I'm looking for Ruth Slatter here. She's nodding. I've got that bit right. Abstain from intoxicating drink. Most 7 and 8 year olds had not got a clue what they were saying. Promptly obey the orders of officers. That's how it went on. But each company was allowed a company law, and our company chose that every girl, junior, senior and pioneer, in that sort of 8 up to 18, would sit the National Sunday School Union scripture exam every year. And I sat that exam for 8 years, and for 6 years I got first class. And one of the things that helped you, to get first class was the memory verse. Now, we have memory verses. We have them in Bible Club, Holiday Club, rather. I'm looking at Jane. She's looking blank back at me, but she's obviously forgotten the memory verse. But that was the first thing in the scripture exam. Please write down the memory verse. And I can remember one. I still have to read it because I can't remember it from memory anymore. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and so it goes on. But you couldn't just write it down like that. If you wanted 100% for the memory verse, you had to know the punctuation. So we would learn it like this: I am the good shepherd, comma, and know my sheep, comma, and am known of mine, full stop, capital letter, as the Father knoweth me, comma, even so know I the Father, colon, and I lay down my life for the sheep, full stop, capital letter, and other sheep I have, comma, which are not of this fold, colon, them also I must bring, comma, and they shall hear my voice, semicolon, and there shall be one fold, comma, and one shepherd, full stop. And if you could do it in the exam, you've got 100% just for that section of the exam. And you may think, well, why am I bothering to tell you that? But in fact, I still have all those certificates. And when I went through portfolio to do what I do today, I had to send evidence to the Bishop's office of anything that would indicate that I did know a little bit about Scripture and what I was doing. And so I sent all the certificates as evidence. So remembering should lead to understanding, and hopefully by doing the Scripture exam my understanding of the Bible has grown and grown, and certainly by doing this my understanding has grown even more. Remembering should lead to repentance. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows you will disown me three times," and he went out and wept bitterly. He remembered. I used to sing a song, I don't sing it so much now, called "The Lord Looked Upon Peter, and Peter Looked at His Lord." And as he looked, he remembered that Jesus had spoken that word. So to recap, divine remembering. God remembers his covenant, he remembers his people, and he remembers his promise. It's a promise. Human remembering. Believers are reminded to remember God's commands, to remember their responsibilities towards each other. Take your notice sheet home, and there are the scriptures to take with you. And believers are to remember the death of Jesus Christ and the importance of remembering. Remembering should lead to rejoicing. Remembering should lead to repentance. And remembering should lead to understanding. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.